Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, what a great Tuesday we have today. It was Tuesday, March, you know, so we're 3 months into the new year. Maybe you got a new relationship, maybe going through a bad relationship, you got to start something new. You know, just listen to a song today from Michael Jackson, my favorite, you know, and sometimes you got to keep the faith. Sometimes you got to work through some things, just knowing that what you look for is right around the corner. You just got to keep the faith in yourself, got to have the confidence in yourself, and things going to work out. And it could be in your job, and especially it could be in your relationships. You know, I'm looking myself, and there's days where I'm sitting there going, woof, why am I still alone? I'm a good man. I'm a good person. So I just got to keep the faith. I got to just stay strong because things can work out. Without further ado, let's welcome to the show our special guest, Melody Talamoa. Good morning.
Hello, Hollis. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I am very well. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate that. You know, you got a great story to talk to us about and your great motivation to talk to us about that because we all need this. We all need to have somebody we can talk to about, especially our relationships. You know, if you have the fear ups and down and things aren't going where you want to, you can give us the confidence that, hey, things can turn around. So before we start the questions, please tell us more about yourself and your new book, ma'am.
My name is Melody Chadamoyo. I am originally from Zimbabwe, but I live in Ireland. I'm a relationship coach. I came across it through life experience, becoming a relationship coach. Professionally, I'm a librarian. I've been a librarian my whole career, but I also work as a relationship coach, and that's my passion. That's what I do. That's what gets me out of bed at night or in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Now, I mean, that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. You live in Ireland. Now, how is that adjustment, living in Ireland? Because I see Ireland as a very, very Caucasian-based society. How do they receive you? How does that happen out? And how does that help you or don't help you in your relationship?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. It was tough. Like, before I came here, I never thought about race too much, you know, race relations. I grew up in independent Zimbabwe. By the time I was, you know, growing up, we were independent. So I never thought really about race until I came here. And it literally hit me in the face the moment I arrived, because suddenly I became a black person. And that is an impact on your relationship. And I talk about that a lot now, because when you are stressed, when all the outside influences are impacting you and you don't feel well within yourself, you don't have the capacity to be loving towards the person next to you. And my relationship suffered. We almost got a divorce. And it was a hard-fought, well-intentioned fight back to each other. And that only happened because we had a very good foundation. Otherwise, it wasn't going to work.
Very good. You say you have a very good foundation. Now, talk to us. Let's say again, I'm single and looking. How do you start to build a foundation? You look at somebody, you build somebody. How do you start to build a good foundation? Or what are some of the red flags that think, saying, well, this is just a physical thing or this is just a certain thing? Because, again, it starts from day one or day month one when you start that relationship, start building that foundation, correct?
Oh, yes, definitely. I was so lucky. I had parents that allowed me to express myself. And my mom, when I was about 16 or so, when I started dating, she said to me, which I, the lesson I took really seriously, when you are with a boy and he asks, he brings you a meat pie, and you react like, oh my God, thank you so much for the meat pie. Every time he wants you to give him that reaction, he's going to bring you a meat pie. If you don't like meat pies, you say, thank you so much, but I don't really like meat pies. Mm. Which means every time he does something that you don't like, you express yourself. And if you like it, you also express yourself. And that's the lesson I took into relationships that I attempted to have. And every I looked for that. Does he listen to me when I say I like something, or he doesn't? He listen to me when I say, you know, those people who say, oh, girls want you, but say no initially, and then we persuade them and they say, and I didn't like boys like that. So I never actually really dated much when I was a teenager until I met the man I married. And the only reason why I married him was because I felt really good when I was with him. I felt more like myself. I felt more energized and up, you know, like I could do more in my life because he was by my side.
Outstanding. I love that. Okay, so you met the man you love, and you know, you're doing some things. It makes you feel good. Now, I use this a lot in my conversation with different people. It's not what you say. Mm-hmm. It's how you say it. So he brings you a meat pie. You sit there and say it. So you gotta be choosy of your words, I guess, on how you say something when it's rejected, because people get hurt feelings. So how you say it is so important, right? How you present that is so important.
Oh, yeah. And even when you're saying no, because before I didn't know. I had only seen friends when they were interacting with boyfriends. I'd seen my mom and dad who really got on very well. And they interacted respectfully. Even when they were upset, they didn't use, you know, bad language or anything towards each other. So I knew if I am angry, there's a way of expressing myself that is not going to make the other person feel like, you know, less of themselves. So I felt insecure initially in my relationship without shouting at him when he did something, because I was told by society that's what you do when a man messes up, you shout at him. But that never used to work for me, because it just made both of us feel yucky. And I decided, okay, shouting is not helpful, because I reflect a lot. What's the best way for me to get what I want from this guy? And when I started to express that calmly, and I would say, you know, when you're late for our dates, or when you do this, this makes me feel like this, he would respond more positively than when I shouted. So I did more of the things that worked than the things that didn't work. But it was because I looked at, every time I spoke to him, I would just look at his face to see how he was reacting to me.
That's beautiful.
And
you
if it was working, I would say, okay, it's working. If it's not working, then I would say, okay, maybe we need to go back to the drawing board.
Very good. Hey, Melody, one of my problems when I was married was I didn't communicate well when I got home from work. Didn't communicate well. You know, my ex, she just wanted to know how my day was. She just wanted to have conversation because I was gone. What's up for the day? Well, I grew up in a single mom home, so I never saw that. Like I said, again, you're very lucky and fortunate. You see that in your parents, how they communicate, how they talk. I didn't see it. I didn't know how to respond. I just thought she was picking at me and just doing things like that. How do you, as you start your relationship, how do you start the conversations or about, you know, financial, sexual, all kinds of things, real deep personal things? How do you start this conversation where you can start getting into it and be more comfortable with each other?
I think trust. I think you need to understand that this person loves you, and they chose you, and they want to be with you. And there's a way between how women express themselves and how men express themselves. Men only communicate when it's absolutely necessary. Women communicate connection. So we talk a lot, but most of the time when we're talking to you, we are wanting the connection. We evolved differently. Women were gatherers and stuff like that. Some of it is to say, oh, I saw this. And then we talk like we are talking about nothing, but most of the things we are talking about are the, I went, I saw, I needed to know what I saw today because I need to unpack all this stuff that's inside me so that I have space for you to get in. So when a woman is speaking to you, that's the best time, the best opportunity to bond with her. When she decides to ignore you, it's dangerous. It's dangerous for men, for women to ignore them. And if you think when a woman is talking to you, she's just being, listen to the things she is saying.
That's wonderful.
Not only how she's saying it, but the things she is saying. Because she is wanting, and actually they are, when you find your woman is talking a lot, sometimes it's because she's feeling insecure. And so she's trying to tell you, I'm feeling insecure. And if you just turn back and it's all good, babe, then she comes down.
That's outstanding.
And you are the hero.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And you're spot on. You really are, because I knew my relationship with my ex was over when she stopped talking, when she stopped passing. And I said, okay, stop crying. I go, okay, yeah, I did it. It's over. There's no turning back. She tried, and then all of a sudden she hit a wall and said, okay, I'm done. He don't want to talk. He don't want to communicate with me. He don't want to make me feel better. I'm done. So once I realized and saw that, I knew the marriage was over. And it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So to this day, I regret that because I was horrible at it. You know, so I'm constantly trying to improve constantly trying to make myself better for the next person. So I improved. Be, like you said, be a listener. You know, communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be fine. Okay, so we get advice from you. We're in a relationship. Things are going okay. But all of a sudden things, you know, because not every relationship is going to be great. So we're in a loss in the relationship. Mm-hmm. We get to the point where it's not good. How do we get out of or affix a lost relationship?
I think the first thing is to acknowledge that things are not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we get so, like, I still remember one day I was at work and I was thinking about my husband, but I was thinking all these terrible things about him. And I stopped myself and I thought, when did this happen? When did I start thinking about him like this? Mm. And I said, okay, so obviously I'm not happy. I'm not happy about how he's treating me. I'm not happy about how we are as a couple. I'm not happy, full stop. And I actually said to myself, this has to end. I don't care how it ends, even if it means we get divorced, but at least this situation has to end the way it is right now. And I went to him and I said, you know what? I'm not happy. And because I didn't know then what I know now, I said, it's your fault. You need to fix it.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you need to fix it because it's all you. And he didn't respond. And then again, it happened. And then I said, okay, fine. I don't care anymore. So I'm not even going to ask him to fix it. I'm just going to bide my time and leave. You remember, we had moved to Ireland. We had a baby at the time. And I was studying. He was studying. He was studying for his PhD. I was studying for my master's. So on top of all that, there was the race issue going on and all the other stresses that happened to immigrant people. So there was too much. We just didn't have it in us to help each other. But I said to myself, okay, I'm going to start taking care of me. I'm going to forget about where his socks are. I'm not going to care what's going on with him. I'll just take care of me. I joined the gym. I was going to the gym. I was just doing, you know, going out with my friends, going for a drink, going to just talk to my girlfriend. And I just became a nicer person to live with, actually. And so, I still have this memory. He came to me to ask me for something. And he now had this thing where he would say something that would trigger me and we'd have a big fight. He said the thing that would trigger me and I wasn't triggered. I didn't react. I stopped, I counted to 10, and I said, can we talk about this later? And he looked confused and he walked away. And then later on, I went to him and I said, you know, when you speak to me like this, it makes me really upset. There's a better way to communicate. What did you want? He told me what he wanted. We sorted it out, and that was it. And one of the things, no matter how desperate we were never cruel to each other. I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
He was never cruel to me. I was never cruel to him. And then because the kindness was still there, we were not wanting to hurt each other. We were just desperate for love. We wanted connection, which seemed to be missing for us at the time. So I said, I don't like this. And he said, okay, fine, I'm sorry. But he was an engineer, and he came back to me another time trying to trigger me again to see if this thing was now permanent or was just a fluke for the day. And again, I noticed it, and I said, again, let's not talk about it now. Let's talk about it when I've calmed down. And when I had calmed down, I went to him and I said it in the nicest way possible. And from that day, we became friends again. And it was just like, you know, we were nicer and nicer, and then we became, again, the romantic, like we wooed each other towards each other again. And all of a sudden, we were happy and joyful and grateful. Like we started this mantra where every day we would say, thank you for choosing me today.
Hmm.
And that just went and on and on. Yeah. And my husband passed away, but I am grateful for that time. Like we went 6 years without ever fighting again. We had arguments, but we didn't fight anymore. We just knew how to be there for each other in a way that was constructive and harmonious.
That's beautiful. And we got to say, we're very so sorry for your loss, you know, because, again, you and your spouse is this ideal way because, again, especially in this country, our country, so much domestic violence, so much because people get defensive and all of a sudden they bring the volume up and all of a sudden now they're not talking, they're just yelling, they're hitting, stuff like that. So, wow, what you two did was unbelievable. You can work it out that way. And that's why, again, well, that's why you're doing what you're doing, because there's better ways to work it out. Yeah, nobody's perfect, but you got to talk about it. Don't get the person in a defensive mode. A defensive mode, the person's not listening. It is kind of reflecting. And it's just really nasty, you know. So, again, we're so sorry for your loss, because you guys are a great example of how to make it work. So outstanding. Okay, you know, part of your discussion and part of your help when you talk to people is broken heart or trauma that make you close off the heart to protect it, okay? So you get hurt, your relationship, you put a lot into it, and all of a sudden it doesn't work out, your heart, you're hurting. Is there a time frame to get back out there? Is there a time frame, or how do you know that you're ready to go to the next step in a relationship?
Okay, that's another brilliant question. You know when you have healed.
Yeah.
So when I talk about healing, I talk about when healing itself is being restored to yourself, to your loving self. Yeah. It's when you hear about your spouse and you don't get angst. You don't feel like, you know, when you hear about them, when you see them, it does not even flicker you. You actually wish them well.
Yeah.
When you are not attached to them anymore. A lot of people don't get divorced. They separate, but they stay together forever, fighting. Because if you're still fighting with someone, they are living rent-free in your head. If they've moved out and they've gone somewhere there and you are spending all your energy, the amount of energy you spend thinking about a person, you could be fulfilling your dreams. You could be having so much joyful connection with someone. If you let them go, if you allow them to say, okay, it happened, I'm sorry it ended, but they are human. They made their own mistakes. I am human. I also made mistakes by choosing them, or maybe we didn't get back together on time to save us, but it's okay. I am letting them go. And symbolically, if you need to throw a stone into the sea, do that and let it go. And make space for you space for someone else and to know that their doing, whatever they did, whether they cheated on you or whatever, it does not and should not impact who you become.
Yeah. Outstanding. Hey, Melanie.
Once you know that, you love yourself enough to allow yourself more love. Sorry, I cut you off, Wallace.
Oh, at this time, please tell us, where do we go after this show to learn more about you and get your wonderful book?
My book is on Amazon, so you can get it, Amazon America, UK, and all the other good Amazon places. It's not in the bookshop. I self-published, so I did put it in the bookshop. But you can go to my website. It's called heartpassioninstitute.com. I can send you a link if you want. And over there, I also have ingredients for a happy relationship. It's a little booklet that I give people. Like, it's not even, it's a sheet of paper. It's a cheat sheet where you find things that you need for your relationship to transform or to be better if you want to start on that path. There is no need for you to be in a relationship that sucks because it impacts your health, it impacts your well-being, and it's not, no one is going to give you a reward or a prize to say, well done for suffering when you were alive. Nobody's going to give you that. So why do it?
Perfect. The title of your book is Why Self-Love is the Key to True Love. Now, self-love, that can get kind of tricky now because, you know, if guys are a little dirty, they can get dirty-minded. What do you mean by self-love? You know, what do you mean by, you know, true love, you know, self-love is becoming true love. What do you do? Make sure you love yourself before you can share yourself with somebody else. Kind of explain that to us so we kind of know what self-love is all about.
It's nothing to do with whatever it is that you're thinking. self-love is more it's to do with knowing who you are. Connecting to yourself, understanding what you need. You don't wait for the other person, you just know who you are. And when you know who you are, no one can get you off your perch. I'll give you an example. When I first met my boyfriend who became my husband, I had friends that were boys that were nice, they were okay. Right, the way I could have married them maybe and we would have worked out, probably. I don't know. But I also knew that there were something, small things that I wanted that were lacking, right? But they were nice guys. Then I met my husband, Taurai was his name, and I became someone else. I became lighter, brighter, more exciting. And my life just became more joyful. And I wanted that. I wanted that gleam to joy that I could hold on to. But the other thing that really came alive inside me was the understanding of love. When I say understanding of love, I mean, what does it mean when I say I love someone? Which means when I'm doing things that are not so loving, I question myself. This is not a very loving gesture I'm doing right now. I might be paying them back for what they did, but I'm also not loving towards them. I only understand that because I understand when someone does something I don't like, I know it's not loving. So I also, because I've given myself love, there are things that I give myself. There are lines I don't cross. I've lost friends because I have values. For example, I don't laugh at people for whatever. Like a friend who would joke about people with disabilities, whatever. I would never allow that in my presence, ever.
Yeah.
And because I have values, I stand by my values. And because I have values, it doesn't matter who is in front of me. If that person is crossing a line in my values, I call them on it or I remove myself. And my husband knew that. Even when he was my boyfriend, he knew there are some things I don't do with this woman. She would never put up. I'm a very tolerant, very understanding, very caring person, but there are things that I would never allow in my presence. And you make those rules for yourself. That's knowing yourself. That's loving yourself. And when you ask for those things from another, and they are committed to allowing you to get those needs of yours met, and their job is not to help you cross the line, then you have found the person for you. But it starts with you.
Melody, that is such a powerful statement. And you come to be very strong in what you do, because a lot of people don't do that because they're afraid of, you know, they don't have the confidence, afraid to be alone and whatever. But when you sit there and say, I put lines and they can't cross that, that's very powerful. You know, you say things and people, you know, maybe you don't sit there and just say the F word in front of you and say this and this in front of you, because that's my pet peeve. Don't F word in front of me. I don't need to hear it. If your language can't, you know, you can't carry a conversation without saying that, then don't stay around me. You can just walk away from me. And people know that of Hollis, you know, things like that. Yeah. It's certain things that, you know, you got to get confident and you got to stand by what you believe. And after a while, it may take a minute or two, but people understand that, okay, a line across and don't cross that line. Otherwise, you will lose him as a friend. So I'm very, that's very good for you, where you, as a woman, you stand up for your beliefs and you stood by them. That's powerful. That's great.
And sometimes it's not even about what do you want to say? Oh, good. I wanted to give you a very good example of being alone or not being alone. So my husband at the time, we now started talking about getting married. And he said to me, I expect my wife to stay at home and look after the kids and, you know, and be a house, you know, and then we will have a field in the village and he will take care of that. And I looked at him and I loved him. At that time, I really loved him. And I said to him, I'm not the right person for you.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to lie to you. It's never going to be me. This person you're describing is never going to be me. I could have said, okay. And then afterwards say, oh, but I don't like doing this. No, I said, I'm not the right. And that's how I handled those conversations. There would be things he would say, I want you to do this because that's how you grew up. That's what you understood. And I would say, I can't do it because I can't even pretend I would want to do it. If these are lines I can't cross. And he went away to think about the fact that I had said I'm the wrong person for you. And he came back. And Hollis, we didn't even discuss it. I knew by him coming back, it means he was okay with me having a career.
Yeah.
And he actually helped me to get a career, to have a career. He got it.
That's beautiful. You know, so many things that I'm jealous of you and your spouse. The communication-wise, like I said, I was so bad at it. It's so bad at, you know, if she says something, I got defensive. So I've learned so much today from you that I will definitely carry it and make sure that I listen, communicate. Don't bring the volume up. Things can work out real well, you know, because, again, in this world, we all deserve to have somebody. You know, we all deserve to have somebody. We don't need to be alone in this world. It could be very, you know, there's days, like you said, in one of your in the description is, it's good enough. Do we settle for, you know, we don't want to settle for good enough because that's going to be a train wreck itself, right? Good enough. I know you use that term, correct?
Yes. It should be perfect for you. Like, you know, it should be, this is it. No one is perfect.
Yeah.
But the way you connect, the way you communicate, the way you are there for each other, that should be perfect.
Yeah.
And it should suit just the two of you. It shouldn't be dictated by your mother, your father, your whoever. You know, it should just be the two of you as you are. Because even though we have society, even though we have so many rules about how to be in society, when it comes to two people, your relationship is unique. And when I say two people, it's not just about romantic relationships. Every time you are with another person, connection is unique to the two of you. Mm-hmm. If you have six children Your connection with your six children is unique to every one of your children.
Yeah. Perfect. Melody, we're down to the end. Yeah. We could talk all day. Awesome.
Ooh,
show. Yeah. Before we get to the final comment, please tell us again, where do we go after the show? Know more about you and your conversation. I'm so thrilled to listen to you speak. Where do we go and where do we get your book?
Why Self Love is the Key to True Love is available on Amazon, and Heart Passion Institute is the website where I am, and I'll give a link to Hollis if you can say it on the description. And Hollis, I would love to help you communicate better. If you get in touch with me, we can talk more, and I that's what I do, right?
Yes, perfect. Final comment. You've done so much, written a book, you recover, you went through heartache. When it's all said and done 30, 40 years from now, what would you like to be remembered for professionally, Melody, in closing?
I would want to be remembered for solving race relations issues that are there in the world right now. And I'm working on it with my PhD that I'm working on, looking at the impact of racism on black men's personal lives. And I want to demonstrate that, you know, we could have better relations even as different races. That's what I want to be known for.
Perfect. Melody, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much for the outstanding content. We appreciate it so much. We're definitely going to send you a little note. And I definitely want to stay in contact with you. You have a great week, and we'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
What a great show, guys. You know, we all have little situations out there. We all, you know, just the conversation today with Melody helped bring the light to a lot of things in focus. And same thing with you. Okay, the same thing, you can kind of sit there and think about, you know, how do you work out conflicts with the spouse? How do you work those things out? She can help you. Okay? She had a relationship where she talked it out with her husband. She talked it out. That's a great thing. Don't argue with that. Plus, you know, especially no domestic violence. Let's talk it out. And it works wonders. Okay? Hey, it's a great Tuesday. We'll be back on Thursday on Hollis Chapman Show. Let's close it out with a little something-something here. And we'll see you on Thursday. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and we'll see you Thursday on the Hollis Chapman Show. As always, I'll see you next time.